Okay, right. I've got a short message today because some of you probably have had a long day already, but don't check out. Because sometimes we can take a while to get into a message and I might be finished by the time you get into it. So stay with me, okay? So today is a day we honour mothers, right? We all know it's Mother's Day. And outside we have we've had afternoon tea together. It is important for us to celebrate and honour mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, spiritual mothers. Now, if you are not any of those things, you are still important and valued, okay? This is not a message to discount anybody, okay? So even though I'm talking to start with about mothers, I want us to celebrate each other, relationship with each other. No one is discounted from this message, okay? So please keep your ears open because God will speak to you. So Jet, I didn't give you any verses today, Karen, sorry. So that's okay, it doesn't matter. So everybody just, I'm just going to speak out the verses. It is important for us to celebrate each other and honour each other because we are made in the image of God. Every single one of us in this room is made in the image of God. That is why we celebrate each other. We are celebrating His handiwork. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them." He created us in His image. His complete nature has both male and female components. His complete nature has male and female components. Don't get that muddled up with humanity. He is not human. He is not sexual. It is nothing to do with female and male in that regard. But His heart is wholly male and female. We've been created in His image. So if we're created in His image, we glorify Him as male and female. So that comes from somewhere, if that's His image. And we've been created in His image. So I want to just, starting from that point, I just want you to, that's why I'm saying this involves everybody in this room. Even though we are celebrating mothers and grandmothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers and blah, blah, all the mother things, I don't want you to check out because we are God's people here in His house today, right? We are God's people in His house. But I want to set the scene about why we celebrate Mother's Day. Now, the tradition dates back in Greece. Okay, just go with me on this. The tradition dates back to pagan celebrations in honour of Rhea, the mother of gods. Now, obviously, we do not subscribe to that. That is not why we celebrate, okay? In Australia, Mother's Day was first celebrated with gift-giving in 1924. Sydney woman Janet Hayden was inspired to collect charitable gifts for lonely elderly mothers in hospital who had lost husbands and sons in World War I. That's where it started in Australia. Heart stuff. In the USA, the origins of Mother's Day, as celebrated in the USA, date back to the 19th century. In the years before the Civil War, a lady called Anne Reeves Jarvis started Mother's Day work clubs to teach local women how to properly care for their children. What a great thing to start. That's where it started. Now, then her daughter Anna decided to pick up the baton and she was like, we need to get people to honour their individual mothers. Now, that's why in everything you usually see, it's Mother's Day with an apostrophe S, right? So I am going to celebrate my mother. In May 8, 1908, she organised the first official Mother's Day event at her church as well as a Wanamaker's department store. She began writing letters to newspapers and politicians pushing for the adoption of Mother's Day as an official holiday. She was on this. This lady was like, people need to honour their mums. This is great. I really want to celebrate this. By 1912, many other churches, towns and states were holding Mother's Day celebrations and Jarvis had established the Mother's Day International Association. Her hard-fought campaign had paid off in 1914 when President Woodrow Wilson signed a bill officially establishing the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. She conceived of Mother's Day as an intimate occasion, a son or a daughter honouring the mother they knew and loved. Not a celebration of all mothers, a celebration of the mother that they knew and loved. For this reason, she always stressed the singular mothers rather than the plural. But she soon grew disillusioned as Mother's Day almost immediately became centred on the buying and giving of printed cards, flowers, candies and other gifts. Not that anything of those is wrong, right? But she saw that this had gone out of control. She had started off here and she had seen that consumerism had taken it there. So seeking to regain control of the holiday she founded, Jarvis began openly campaigning against those who profited from Mother's Day, including confectioners, florists and other retailers. She launched numerous lawsuits against groups using the name Mother's Day and eventually spent much of her sizable inheritance on legal fees. Her efforts were to no avail, however, as Mother's Day had taken off a life of its own as a commercial goldmine. Largely destitute and unable to profit from the massively successful holiday she founded, she died in 1948. The sad history of Mother's Day founder Anna Jarvis has done nothing to slow down the popularity and commercialism of the holiday. Isn't that tragic? That's so tragic. And I wanted to read it because I can't really summarise that well. I wanted to read it because... And I am not judging anybody for buying cards, flowers, gifts, right? I'm not judging anyone for that because I did the same thing today. But what I find tragic is it started off with a heart movement for people to be honoured, for someone to be honoured. And then, as we see in our world, greed takes it to another level. It happens all the time, doesn't it? I mean, you look at Christmas, you think about where Christmas started, look at it now. You see where Easter started, look at it now. So it does happen, but humanity gets involved with something that is a heart cry and potentially changes it to something. Now, however, although Mother's Day has turned into a commercial deal, do you think it's in God's heart to honour people? Do we actually think it's in God's heart to honour people? It is, isn't it? It is, absolutely. I believe it is. And honouring a culture of honour doesn't lift people up here. I mean, sometimes Kurt always calls me Pastor Caroline and Pastor Dave. He's so good at that. But sometimes I go, oh, don't call me that. I don't want you to put me up here. Because pedestals are not good for anybody, and particularly leadership. Unfortunately, when people put people up there on pedestals in leadership, it can put pressure on. And we've seen it. We've all seen it. But honouring that is healthy is God's heart for sure. And the Bible consistently asks followers to honour and love their mothers. We see this in Exodus 20:12 says, honour your father and mother. It's very simple, isn't it? God's word cuts through. Honour your father and mother. There's no if they do this, if they do that. It's just honour your father and mother. And Leviticus 19:3 says, every one of you shall revere his mother and father. So God's heart is for honour. God's heart is for us to honour each other. God's heart for us today is to honour mothers in our world. Now, as I look around the room, I can see you are not all mothers. And that's okay. But guess what? You are all a child of a mother. Yeah. You did not get here without a mother. Well, unless I don't know something. You can talk about that later. But I'm pretty sure that every single one of you is a child of a mother. So whether a good experience or bad, the reality is that you had a mother that birthed you. Some of you still have your mothers around. Some of you may not. Some of you may have lost your mother. But you all had a mother, and without her, potentially you wouldn't be here, which is a good thing to remember. Now, we know God is the author of life though, right? God is the author of life. He is the one that actually ordains life. So although we have mothers, God is the one who breathes life. Psalm 139, you knit me together in my mother's womb. God does the work. It's beautiful. And every single one of us needs to know we are formed and created and loved by God. Last night, Dave was playing in the pub and a bunch of you came down, which was very fun. Isabel was like, Dave, they're great. Loved it. Next time you get on the dance floor with me, Isabel. That's right. You're a shotgun preacher. That's what she's talking about. Shotgun with his... guitar gun preacher. But anyway, had a great time down there and I was dancing on the dance floor. But whenever I go to Finian's, I always look around. I mean, so if you were there with me yesterday and you were on the dance floor with me, you would have seen that I was like doing this. I kind of dance around in a circle. I'm like, because I'm looking, God, who are you highlighting? Who are you highlighting? And there was this one girl that I could not take my eyes off. It was like she, every time I turned around, she was right there. So I needed to leave though, and but I was like, I am not going to miss the opportunity because the band took a break, and I was like, I am not going to miss the opportunity to tell her God loves her. And so I followed her off to the side and I said, and this is so weird because you have to be really careful how you say it, and it sounded really weird. When I said it to her, I said, I've been watching you. And I said, not in a weird way, not in a weird way. I said, but I need to tell you that God absolutely adores you, that he sees who you are. You are beautiful. You are loved, fully loved. And she looked at me, and I'm shouting over the noise of the pub. It's pretty loud. She looked at me and she said, I needed to hear that. I really needed to hear that. We all need to know we loved, don't we? We all need to know we loved. Now, I said to her, I didn't feel to pray with her there because it was... she was with somebody else, so I didn't want to make it weird. But I said, I'm going to pray for you. And I prayed for her all the way home. And I don't know what her story is. It doesn't matter. God knows everything about her. But we all need to know we are loved. We are loved deeply, every single one of us. And so although sometimes on Mother's Day we like to keep things light and airy, right? But I want to take a moment to take look at some tough things that sometimes... not just mothers, but we're focusing on mothers at this point. And I want to encourage you, mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, spiritual mothers, I want to encourage you because there are some difficulties sometimes with mothering. Let's not be, you know. All the mothers are like, what are you? Seriously, of course. But I want to tell you some stories of some women in the Bible who were mothers who... had it pretty tough. And we often don't think about this, okay? So, guys, don't check out because if you still have a mother around, it's good for you to pay attention to this. Eve, the first mother who lost one of her children to the hands of the other. I mean, just think about that for a moment. We all have kids that bicker and fight, Aaron and Ethan. Aaron and Ethan fought all the time. No, not all the time, just for a couple of years. But imagine having one of your children murder another one of your children. That's hectic, isn't it? It's hectic. And people are suffering that today. It's not just back then. But Eve is someone when we look at and we think she was the first created woman. So I think sometimes we look and we kind of go, well, she wouldn't have had any problems. But she did. She had to deal with that. Rebecca, Isaac's wife, who struggled with favoritism of her son Jacob over Esau. That's not something we like thinking about. My kids always wind me up and go, who's your favourite? We know who your favourite is. Like, I do not have any favourites. I say it, they still don't believe me, but it's true. But Rebecca struggled with feeling this favouritism towards Jacob over Esau. That's tough as a mum. Now, I don't know how you say this word because this is actually not in... we actually don't read this in the text of the Bible. I should have practiced it before I came here. Jochebed. Do you know who that is? Jochebed. It's Moses' mother. So she doesn't even get her name in the Bible, actually. Obviously, scholars have gone back and looked at other texts. But she was a mum who had to put her child in a basket and watch him disappear and be raised by somebody else. That's tough. That is tough. So I'm not like making light of these situations. They're hard and raw and real. And there are people today in this world that are struggling with those things still. It's not just for back then. But these stories do remind us that if relationships between mothers and children are not perfect, God can still work in the middle of it. God never stops working. So if you're sitting here and your relationship with your mum is challenging, God does not stop working. When things are not easy as a mum, grandma, great-grandma, I want you to remember not to give up, that God is in the middle of this with you. His heart is for honour. His heart is for relationship. His heart is always for relationship. So if you are finding it challenging, you need to remember that he is at work. He does not sleep. He does not walk away or give up. Our greatest assurance is that he is at work and he can redeem our biggest mistakes. Who knows that? Do we know that he can redeem our biggest mistakes? Because he so can. For both parents and children. So kids, if you're having a tough time, God can redeem stuff for you as well. Make it better. Now hang in there. Don't check out. I'm going to change tack slightly. Okay? We are here in God's house, God's people. What do we honestly think God says about Mother's Day? Because most of us have grown up with it being a commercial thing. And I know some people really struggle with that. They struggle with the fact that it's a commercial pagan remembrance. But what do we really think that God thinks about this day? It's just a day in the calendar. But do we actually think that this day is more important than any other day? Or do we think that God's heart is for us to honour every day? I think his heart is for us to honour every day. This helps us to remember those in our world, though, that need honouring, because sometimes life can go on and go on and go on. So, God's nature is depicted in these scriptures. Psalm 22, 9 to 10. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast on you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. God is concerned for his people like a midwife cares for the child she's birthed. I had all four of my kids with midwives. I won't go into all the details of that. But they were amazing. They were amazing, and I felt like I could fully trust them with exactly what was going on for me and for my child, my children. God is concerned for his people like a midwife cares for the child she's delivered. You brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast on you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. That's outstanding. That's outstanding. From the moment of conception, God knew us, loved us deeply. Isaiah 49:15. God will never forget his children like a mother will not forget their nursing child. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. God will never forget us. Now, this is why I was saying, guys, this doesn't exclude you. I'm talking about the nature of God that is nurturing, that is like the mother. Though she may forget, and I'm telling you right now, most women, whatever their experience, would not forget a baby that they have given birth to, whatever that looks like. Though she may forget, I will not forget you. That's really profound. If you are ever in a moment where you think that God is not listening, that he doesn't understand what's going on for you, that he really doesn't get it, let me tell you, he does. He absolutely does. God comforts his people like a nursing mother. Isaiah 66:13. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, and you will be confronted. As a mother confronts her child. I keep wanting to say confront. What's that? There'd be some psychologist that'd say, what's that going on there? As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. God comforts his people like a nursing mother. Isn't that beautiful? That's a beautiful image. So God's heart is for his children. You are his children. You are his children. You all have a mother. You are her child. Whether she's still living or not, you are her child. But you have a father who loves you, whose nature is both male and female. He understands the mother heart. And that's beautiful. And we need to be okay with that. It feels probably a bit weird to think about it like that because we talk about God being father, and he is father. But his nature is whole. He doesn't have any gaps in his nature. So today, I told you it was going to be short. We want to honour mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers. Not because we are any more important than anybody else here, but because God has given us that position and we are called to reflect his heart in that. That is a big responsibility, let me tell you. It's a big responsibility. So we want to honor mothers because we want to stand together. And we need you guys to back us as well. We honor you for what you continue to sow into your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, and your spiritual children. And we actually want to pray a blessing over you. We're not going to do a big stand up in the front here. I want you just to stay in your seat. David's going to pray a blessing over you. And I want you to receive this blessing, knowing that God is always working, that he does not give up, he does not sleep, he is about honor. His heart is for honor, but his heart is for us to honor each other as well. So we want to honor you as mothers, and we want to say bless you for what you will continue to give, what you continue to sow into your children, what you continue to outwork, and to also have your arms open and embrace those that come into your world that you might not be expecting. As spiritual mothers, and there are a few of you in this room, spiritual mothers have their arms open to those that they have not given birth to. And actually anybody can do that. But it's so important. Our society needs mothers and fathers who will embrace them. So we want to pray blessing over you. So I just want you to stay in your seat though. And Dave is going to pray blessing. I want you to receive it. And I want us to just recognize that we have been made in the image of God. Every single one of us are his children, first and foremost. That's a powerful place to be. It's a powerful place to be. Dave, would you like to come and pray blessing over our mums?
Sure. I haven't actually pre-written anything. And I wanted it to sort of, I guess, flow from a prophetic space, let the Holy Spirit speak. But, you know, as I spent a brief time thinking about it, what came to me was a verse out of Proverbs 31. And I just want to preface this by saying, you know, there's part of me that's very glad there's no, like, Proverbs 32 that's about a husband of noble character, because I feel like this chapter or this part chapter can almost be weaponized as this crushing to-do list for women of what makes a woman a good wife and a good mother, and that's not at all what I want to do here. And it's true. It's truth. This is, you know, a great aspirational sort of passage. But I just want to, and if you're not aware of this passage I'm talking about, it's sort of headed up A Wife of Noble Character. And it's huge praise for someone of who, you know, has earned that title, I suppose. But the verse that really came to my heart is towards the end. It says, her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. And while it looks like the passage looks like a long to-do list, the foundation is really at the end here in verse 30. It says, charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. That's the foundation. Honor her for all that her hands have done. Let her works bring her praise at the city gate. That's a really significant thing. The city gate is the seat of power and authority. I want to bless you with city gate kind of authority in this city and in your lives, that you would be women who influence the culture. I want to bless you with the Spirit's presence in your life such that people rise up, that your children rise up and call you blessed, both your natural physical children and your spiritual children. I want to bless you with the Holy Spirit presence upon your life that draws people, that exudes the love of God the Father, the God the nurturer, God the protective mama bear, God who calls himself the perfect helper. I want to bless you with a mind and with hands and feet that are strong to do everything that God calls you to do, to walk the path that he has laid out before you. No one else can walk your path, but on the path to which he guides you, may he strengthen you. You will never do that path in your own strength because it is a path of faith. May he bless you with great faith. May the Spirit move in your life to believe for things that are impossible without him. I want to bless you with generations of children who rise up and not only call you blessed, but who bless the name of Jesus. Who rise up and say, I thank you because of my mother, my grandmother, my great-grandmother, who feared the Lord. May your families shine like stars in the universe because of the blessing of God that is upon your life and upon your families. In Jesus' name, amen. We might wrap up with a worship song, yeah? Cool.
Amen. Yeah, we're just going to stand and sing one more song.